Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. So this is the last topic for this event. So are you guys tired for so many presentation? Excited? Missing home? Yeah. So this is Jing Ning again. I'm a software developer engineer in the Beijing team. And I have joined this Intel project for more than 5 years. And today this presentation is talk about NINC protocol overview. How many of you guys know about NINC? Okay, not so bad. Much better than in Beijing event. So this is today's agenda. First, I'm going to introduce a little about NINC because it seems that some of you guys still do not know about NINC. And after introduce the link, I will introduce the overview of the NINC protocols, and then followed by introduce a step into one of the most common used NINC protocol to see how those NINC protocols are constructed. What's the difference between NINC protocol and any other protocols? And then I will show a typical use scenarios how those NINC protocols can work together to cooperate. So this is a NINC product introduction. In one word, NINC is unified communication server, which can give you a uniform user experience for instance message, for audio video conference, for enterprise voice, for application sharing. This kind of all kinds of this multimedia can be used by you can have this in NINC. So this is NINC, and later I will show you an example. So this is one example. I just get a short screenshot from my computer. I'm making a call with my workmates, and you can see over there, there is a phone joined in this meeting too, and we can share our desktop, we can show our Chrome Notepad, and we can share the programs, and we are calling with each other, and I'm also showing my desktop to my workmates. So this is the typical scenario for NINC. So how we use NINC every day, and this is one example of the deployment of NINC. And here you can see at from this is one user can access the link from the internet, and even we have a firewall between the different users. The real time multiple media data can go can pass through those firewalls, and we also have agents. What's the agent? For example, currently NINC users can communicate with MSN users, and also the Google communicator, not the Google communicator, but the Yahoo communicator users can make a phone call to our NINC users. How they did this? They use the agents. They use the link agents. But the precondition, of course, is that the third-party communicator shares their user data with NINC. That's a precondition. And also, the phone can join the NINC conference meeting. How we can make this? This is how the our phone join our NINC server. Typically, most of the phone use the network is PSTN, so we need the IP PSTN gateway to give the phone the access to our server. And then, because of the payload of the phone voice is different from the link voice, so we need the media server to transfer the data between each other. And also, this is the same user, actually the same user with an internet user, just without the firewall, just inside our domain controller. This is, I think it's a typical example of how of the network deployment of a link. So here goes the link protocol overview. Actually, if you want to learn about link protocol, this protocol OCS prot is an entry point for you, and it contains four parts of the information. The first part is a product architecture overview, and then the environment and the network topology. The tools I have already introduced to you, and then comes the link protocol families, and then the most important user scenarios, how those protocols can work together. So then I will introduce the protocol family and the one typical user scenario to show that. So this is a protocol family for link. So if you want to develop the software for users can join a conference meeting like this kind of conference, what's the important part? The first one is the users, right? The user to join the meeting. And the second one is real-time data, like audio and video data. And the third one is how to transfer those data between each users. So this is a three part from the for the protocols. These two protocols is for get the using data. And those protocols I used for transfer the real-time data. And those protocols I designed for create the sessions like how to transfer those data. For example, these two protocols I like share the the user data between two companies, like two different domain controller, how to share the data between the different link server, or not just link server, other kind of server, as long as they follow the link protocols. And here, those real-time protocols are all about the format of the payload, like the RTP is a real-time transport protocol, and RTASPF is a payload for the application shell, and SDP is for how to negotiate the parameter, the IP address and the port for transfer the real-time data. Like SRTP is a security, how to make the encryption of our data. And that's and so on. They are all for the format of the our real-time metadata. And here, this protocol is, you remember in my previous slides, there are users need to pass through the firewall between the different users. So those protocols I designed for how those media can pass through the firewalls. So that's the protocol for media. And then here, this is the control signal control protocols, which I use to create a session and to negotiate the parameters and create the framework for the meeting request, like this kind of things. And the session, the first part is a session initiation protocols. Is almost the first step for each conference. You need to register to the server. You need authentication, and you need authentication from the server. And here, this bunch I for conference protocol. Like, actually, for one conference, we have different entities for different payload. Like you want to use IM, you need to create a conference for instance message. You need to transfer the audio video. You need to create a conference for audio video. You need to share your desktop. You need to create the conference for application sharing. So So even for one core, you have a different this kind of communication. You created the cyber conference in one session. So this are all for create a conference protocol. This is a base protocol for conference, and this is a process for conference, and this is for IAM, this is for audio video conference, and this is for application share, and so on. And we also have two HTTP protocols which give you the ability to create the web conference. That means you do not even need to install the link client to have the conference with each with other link users. You can use your Internet Explorer and use one address which link server gives you to join the meeting. So that's all for the protocol families. So here I choose one of the most common used link protocol so that we can step into that protocol to look into the link. So CIPREG, this protocol is used for the registration of a link user. So most of the link scenario, this is the first step. Ask the user to user to register to the server, so the server knows that you are online now. REG, this protocol have only four important messages. One is register, and register, that means tell the server you are online now. And the second one is subscribe. What does that mean? Once you get online, you need to know the status of other user, whether he's available, whether he's busy, whether he's offline. So we need to subscribe the other user's information. And we also need to, the server let us know when those status change. So we also need the notif message. So this is a basic function for this protocol, CIPREG. And here you can see all those message format and the message I derived from the RFC protocol. So this is a different from other protocols. Almost all the link protocols I derived from RFC protocol. And here is the first one is 3261, and the second one is 3265. Almost all the framework of the online conference have been defined by those RFC standard protocols. Microsoft protocol just extend some of some field, like some format of the detail. So this is one example of a link protocol. Then let's take a look at one typical scenario. As I have just introduced to you, the online conference call is the most common use scenario. And actually, most of us use this scenario every day. We need to call the guys in Redmond and show our report to them, and they assign their tasks to us. So that's the most common user scenario. Later, I will show the message sequence of this scenario. And here, this is a message sequence for this typical scenario. The first one is restriction and authentication. And here, each step actually contains multiple message from the server to client and the client to server. I just combine them to one to make it easier for you to understand. So firstly, restriction and authentication. Let the server ask the server to let you online, and authentication you are whether a valid user. So the first step, the related protocol is rigid protocol. This is for restriction. And the second one is SIP AE. This protocol is for authentication. And after you get online, you need to create the audio AV conference. The framework, just a framework of audio video conference. So step two, the related protocol is ConfBase, ConfPro, and ConfAV. The ConfBase is create the base framework of a conference, and the ConfPro is about the process for create a conference, and ConfAV gives you have already created the framework for conference. Now you need to transfer the audio and video data, so that you need to negotiate the parameters, network condition, like this kind of parameter for the audio video conference. So the ConfAV protocol is used for designed for this. And after you create the audio video conference, you need to negotiate the AV configuration. This one is designed for to pass through the firewall, because domain controller, for example. If there is a computer inside the domain controller, some computer outside will never load the public address for this computer. So we need to map the private address to some public address, so that we can transfer our real-time payload directly. We do not want the server to redirect our real-time data, because the data may be huge from each user, so we do not want. So that's why we want to negotiate the IP address and the port for the real time medias. So that's step three. Step three, we have three protocols. I only need three here, but we have a bunch of them. I remember it's more than 10. This is the three typical protocols for how to make this. It's just to make the real-time media can pass through the firewall, pass through, transfer the private address to the public address like this. And after we negotiate the, real-time media parameter with the server, I can invite the another user where I want to have a media conference with him. So I first tell the link server I want to invite another user, and then the server will forward my invite to that user, because for me I don't know where is this user, but the server knows. So server need to forward this message to the user two. And the user two, for him, he also need to negotiate the parameters, how to pass through the firewall like this, kind of how to map the private address to public address. And then the user two will send the geoconference request to the server, and the server will notify. After the user two joins the conference, the server will send a notify message to user one to let him know, okay, the other user has already joined the meeting, so you can have a conference call now. So from here, a user is starting to send their data, and the server can forward this data to user two. This is the most simple scenarios, because we only have two users, but for most of the time we have multiple users, right? So in that case, the user one will send the data to the server, and the server for duplicates those data and send those data to different users. That's the most common scenarios. And if we only have two users, they were transfer data, they were send data directly to each other. And here, I draw this just because I want to show multiple, when the most common scenarios, we have multiple users. But if we only have two users as well, at the meeting, they will send the data directly to each other. And this is step five. We use the real-time format, real-time metadata format protocols. So that's a typical link scenario. And the related protocols. So that's all for my today's presentation. Any questions? Yeah?
Is there any integration with Jabber?
Jabber?
XMPP?
Yeah. SMTP?
XMPP?
Sorry, I don't know the answer, but I can check offline and discuss with you, okay? Actually, currently we have a lot of lot of software. Yeah.
Support for XMPP, like Jabber. So Jabber can talk to Link.
Yeah.
Like if I'm, for instance, Cisco and IAM, we can talk on IAM.
Yeah.
So if
they can talk to Link, they may just connect to the agent user. But I don't know exactly what the implementation for them. But a lot of companies implement the protocol of Link. But they might be implement the RFC standard protocol. Might not be Link protocols, but I just don't know. So any more question? Okay, thanks.